Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's April 27, 2015, and this is episode 469. Today, I'm going to relay what is essentially some very simple advice about getting things done. I'll explain this in more detail, but when considering the implementation of a new workflow element, starting a new project, or jumping into life-changing situations, the hardest step to take is starting in the first place. When I do classroom-based workshop sessions and talk to people about keywording images, I've noticed a common cause for why people don't do this. I teach a highly optimized digital workflow, and keywording images really helps you to manage your library and easily find stuff later. But some people see it as a huge task. The ironic thing is that later in the workflow, people take their images and put them online and add keywords at that point. They put them into a stock site, for example, and add keywords at that point as well. If you spend the time to do this early in your workflow, the keywords are there whenever you export your images, so you reduce duplicated effort later too. People understand the benefits but still neglect a keyword as part of their digital workflow. So I thought back to when I first started keywording my images and, having asked a few questions of others, figured out the reason why, for many people at least. In the early years of digital photography, before tools like Lightroom came along, our workflow was often convoluted, switching between various applications, and this made it difficult to really settle into a rigid workflow. As better tools became available, we settled into what I'm sure many find quite a comfortable system of managing and working with our images. But those first few years left us with a large number of images that were not keyworded or changed in any way that makes management of them easier. We then learn the benefits of something like keywording, but the thought of going back through our backlog of images can be paralyzing. We sit there at a turning point, knowing that we should start to do something, but our backlog is looming behind us, like a 3-ton pair of shackles around our ankles, stopping us from moving forwards. I remember when Lightroom came out, and for the first time really, it became totally easy to keyword our images. I'm a big believer in doing workflow tasks as early as possible to save time later. So it made sense to start the process right there when you import your images by adding some generic keywords to the entire set as you transfer them to your computer. Lightroom also gave us tools to be able to easily keyword images individually and quickly, so all the barriers to keywording had been removed, and yet I still recall resisting starting to do this for a while, so I considered why this was the case. Well, I'd already been shooting for many years, and at the time it just felt like a huge task to go back and keyword my work. The task felt so daunting that I held off starting to keyword my new images, because unless I went back and keyworded my old work, only a tiny percentage of my image library would be keyworded. This might sound stupid, but that's how it felt. And having asked around, it seems that this is what puts at least some of the people off doing the keywording as well. If we think about it, at that point, before I started keywording, 100% of my images were without keywords. Approximately 55,000 images and not one of them had a keyword added. But I knew that with just being so easy now to keyword, it was stupid not to just start. Even if I didn't go back and keyword my entire archive, and so that's what I did. Let's think about this. I started to keyword in 2007, and at the time, 100% of 55,000 digital images in my library were without a keyword. This was the paralyzing aspect. I have keyworded every one of my images that I've shot since that point. I have created 180,000 images since then, which means that what was once 100% without keywords is now just 23% of my library. 77% of my images are now keyworded. What's more, the first 55,000 images that I shot became less and less important to me over time as I become a better photographer. So in reality, at this point, it almost feels as though pretty much every photo I've ever shot that is worth a hoot has at least some descriptive keywords against it. And it feels a bit of an achievement, despite the gloomy outlook when I first started to keyword. It goes without saying, but if I'd never started, I'd now have 235,000 images without keywords. It's important not to let the past paralyze your future. If you reach a point that you know you have to do something, really, just start. Of course, we can relate this to much more life-changing decisions too. Back in 2010, I had a big decision to make. I was in a day job that was gradually losing its hold on me as my passion for photography grew, and the photography business that I had been building as a side job was gradually looking more and more viable as a full-time pursuit. I don't think I've ever mentioned this, but there was a turning point decision that I had to make that helped me to push myself over the edge, and that was my first expedition to Antarctica. I'd been given the chance to join an expedition helping to teach photographers on a voyage down there, and because I was already running my Japan Winter Wonderland tours, I wouldn't have had enough annual holidays left to do both. It was decision time. Of course, we know how it turns out. I agreed to do the expedition, knowing that I would have to leave my day job to do it, and that's exactly what I did. But it wasn't an easy decision. My old job was a secure job, as secure as they are, as they can be, and I was being paid well. I recall talking to my brother about the possibility of leaving my job, and being much more sensible than I am, he suggested that I wait until I retire, when I can do as much photography as I like. My reply was that it would be, of course, too late to live my dream. Our dad died at 62 years old from cancer. Hell, I almost died at 44 from a brain tumour, just months after starting my business. There was no way I would wait until I retired to follow my passion. I'd lined up my ducks, and it was time to take a blunderbuster to all of them. Even on a project level, people tend to hesitate to get started through lack of time or the required skills to really pursue it. They look forward to the finished project and the dream of the fruits of their labour, but the task itself, doing the work, seems so daunting that it stays in the realms of our daydreams. Of course, if you don't start to take action on your ideas, you'll never finish anything. If your fear is about the time required to complete something, don't set your sights on completion as your immediate goal. Break your goal into more bite-sized chunks. You might, for example, give yourself a goal of photographing every power station cooling tower in your state or country, which, of course, could take years. To make this less daunting, you might set yourself a goal to photograph just one or two each month. You could probably find out how many there are and calculate how long the project is going to take you. Say there are 20 of them. You could decide to do two a month and finish in 10 months and then give yourself a goal of doing an exhibition during the 12th month. If you simply cannot commit to that amount of time, do just one each month and set your goal for an exhibition at the end of year two. Either way, breaking it down into bite-sized chunks is probably going to make the overall task seem less daunting and more manageable, and more importantly, achievable. Don't allow this planning phase to become your goal either. It's important to plan, but spending all of your mental energy on thinking about starting is exactly what we want to avoid. Give your plans the attention they need quickly and then start. And you will at least be making progress. It's better to be moving forward in small steps than to sit around dreaming about the project. Don't spend too much time trying to find reasons why you can't achieve your goals either. Even if, for example, you feel that your current skill level isn't quite where it needs to be to really do your project justice, you aren't going to magically develop the ability to do something just dreaming about it, or spending countless hours online researching it. Research may be necessary, but you ultimately have to do something to become competent at it. And only once you are competent at something can you continue on to become good at it, and then to possibly, eventually, excel at it. Once you've started and made some progress, hopefully lots of progress, there is another barrier that can be just as paralyzing as the fear of starting, and that's the fear of stopping. Once you get into a project, it can actually feel quite comfortable. Once you're doing the work, making progress, but don't let the work itself become the goal. Of course, some goals, such as starting a business, don't necessarily have to have completion as a goal. It would be pretty pointless starting a business with closing the business down as a goal. But for projects with a definite outcome, it's really important to, at some point, send it out into the world, be it a gallery exhibition, publishing a book, or creating hard copy or an online portfolio. At some point, you'll have to stop and send it out into the world. Some projects will be iterative, of course. We don't build a working portfolio, for example, and then just let it stagnate after you've finished it. Indeed, part of your consideration when building something like a portfolio, physical or online, is its maintainability. Your first goal, though, would be to complete the first iteration. Only then will you have a portfolio, but it will hopefully put you in a good position to continue to update it for future iterations. It's really easy to think that because you're putting everything you have into something, that you are doing the right work. Don't let simply doing the work become the goal, as I say. There'll be plenty more work to do to keep your momentum going, so try not to use your current work as an excuse for not moving on to the next project either. Just being busy does not necessarily mean you're doing the work that you really need to be doing at any given point. Prioritizing your tasks and avoiding procrastination is very important if you really want to get a lot done. There may come a time when you have to put something on hold or cut your losses and move on to something more important instead. Having the guts to abandon a project can sometimes take more courage than taking your project to completion. Releasing your baby into the world is yet another daunting process. Hearing negative feedback can not only hurt, but it can be damaging, especially when you don't understand the motives of the person providing the feedback. It's a good idea to get feedback from people that you really trust when possible, before going public. My wife and sometimes a few good friends are my trusted critics. Sometimes my confidence in these people starts at the project conception stage. I share my ideas with them to see if they think what I'm cooking up will actually fly. There's no guarantees, of course, but this can help us to give us just a little bit of a reality check. And at the very least, it helps me to organize my ideas just by putting them into logical enough order to be able to explain them to someone else. As I work through my projects, I sometimes get feedback midway, but always as the project draws to a close. Sometimes it's not necessary, and I'm so confident with the results that I simply steam ahead, but even then, When time allows, it's better to at least run it past your trusted critic or critics to see if you haven't overlooked something pretty obvious, which happens from time to time. Whether you act on that feedback is still up to you, of course. If you really are working from your heart and you believe in your project, it can sometimes be necessary to steam ahead, even if that means making your own mistakes and learning the hard way. It doesn't matter how confident you are in your new project or product. When you are finally ready to push the button, alongside with any excitement that you might feel, there's also going to be at least some level of anxiety. When you put your baby out there into the world, you make yourself vulnerable to negative feedback, and that, for most of us, can be quite scary. Fear of the work required or fear of failure can stop us from starting, but the fear of finishing and making ourselves vulnerable can be paralyzing as well. You have to overcome that though, and as scary as it can be, take a leap of faith. After all, what's the worst thing that can happen? Of course, you can be hurt. Someone could say that your product sucks. At the very least, it might not generate all of the attention that you'd hoped. In fact, I'd say that unless you just produce something that went totally viral, it will quite often not do quite as well as we'd hoped. But hopefully, it will do as well as you'd expected. Whether your project is as big a success as you'd hoped or not, you will learn from the experience and be stronger for not only having started something, but for having finished it. Whichever outcome you gain, once you've released your baby into the world, it's time to take stock, then rinse and repeat. As we mentioned in last week's episode, the more you do something, the better you get at it. Even if your project really is a total flop, a disaster, you've still gained a chance to improve. Try to figure out what went wrong. Why didn't it go as well as you'd expected? Try to step back and really view the wider picture. The contents of what you created could be absolutely killer, but suffered from a lack of visibility, for example. There's a constant struggle to attract the attention of your audience, and with so much information being created every day, this is not going to get any easier, so you have to figure out ways to get your word out and give people a chance to see your work. Believe me, just building something will not guarantee that your audience or customers will find you. Try to find some way to attract people to your site, store, or wherever you need them to be to notice what you want them to see. Of course, for me, although doing this podcast has become part of my life, something that I look forward to doing each week, it's also been my greatest enabler. It's why you're here right now, and why some of you will, for example, take a look at my portfolios before you leave, or maybe even find yourself on one of my workshops one day. Attracting more viewers of my work was my plan from the start by providing photography tips based on my own real-world examples. The business that has grown from this is more of an organic development, but it has happened because I've spent at least one day every week for the last 10 years creating something that I hope is of value. Whether you are running a business or simply want to attract more viewers of your work, for the majority of us, it will rarely happen by simply building a web page and just hoping that people will stumble upon it. So, to recap, as daunting as some projects may seem, it's really important to get started. Put your hands to the wheel and start to make progress, however large a task it may seem to be. Break it into more manageable chunks if necessary. Have the courage to put something on hold to make way for more important projects, or have the courage to abandon it altogether when the need arises. Find at least one, hopefully a number of trusted critics that you can rely on for honest feedback, and act on advice from them that clicks with you. Be careful of feedback from public sources where you may have no understanding of their motives, and when the time comes, send your baby out into the world and be prepared to work for the attention of your audience, or even build the audience in the first place. And when your ideas don't fly, turn your failures into successes by figuring out what went wrong, and avoid making the same mistakes in future projects. Okay, I hope that has been of some use for you. Before we finish, I'd like to quickly mention that we have set up another in-studio Pixels to Pigment workshop here in Tokyo, in my studio, on May 16 and 17, 2015. If you'd like to join us and learn how to optimize your digital workflow from capturing your pixels through to stress-free fine art printing, take a look at mbp.ac/P2P, P number 2P, for details. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Twitter, Google+, Instagram, and Facebook. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.